You are the rules lawyer.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to House Party Protocol.
Power up, suits, and welcome into another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me, as sometimes usual on House Party Protocol, but definitely always on the after party, is Mr. Nate.
Hello, guys.
What's up, man? How's it been going?
It's been going good. There's been so many juicy, I guess they're not spoilers, but releases of information that I am very excited about.
One might say juicy tidbits.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say. So spoilers for us in the U.S. that aren't tapped into all the people posting the cards and stuff online from other countries. Don't get me wrong. I love it when people do that because I like to see them. But we here at House Party Protocol, we aren't going to talk about it until AMG officially gives us the blessing, as it were. So yeah, they blessed us with a content drop recently. So we have a lot to talk about. And we're not going to waste much time getting into it today, Nate, other than to say, today, on the day that we're recording this, May 6th, it is my son's 6th birthday. So happy birthday to Connor.
Happy birthday, Connor.
Yeah. So if you're out there, just, you know, say happy birthday to him. If not that you would see him, but you know what I mean. Like,
That'd be a little bit weird.
Suits listening, just, you know, throw up a little, hey, happy birthday, Connor, while you're listening to the House Party Protocol. So, news. Let's start with some news first. And we got a post on Facebook from the Bearded Card Trader, who is basically some dude on the internet that I guess has a store. And he posted some release dates, Nate, for a lot of packs. And these are all...
This gets into the spoiler territory. So if you are somebody who wants to wait for AMG's official post or gallery show off or fill in the blank, skip ahead.
So we got some interesting ones here, and a lot of these we already knew about, but I'm definitely ready to get a lot of this stuff on the table. And I also think, though I don't know, that I think the Bearded Card Trader is in the UK, so these release dates could be fluid, especially for us here in the US.
Yeah, especially as also just things continue to develop with COVID. I know a lot of places are finally being able to start opening up, but I also know that some states, some cities are still hitting a new high in new cases on a day-to-day basis. So
that's right.
It's a rough spot to judge, and I do not envy the position that Atomic Mass Asmodee are in.
Yep, but for sure, be safe out there and make sure to keep social distancing and all your PPE and masks and all that stuff. But let's talk about this awesome list. Like, I feel weird saying some of this stuff because it hasn't been officially spoiled yet, but I can't not. So we're getting Daredevil.
And not just Daredevil.
And Bullseye with him, who was Daredevil at one point. You didn't know that Bullseye put on the Daredevil costume at one point?
I did not. I knew that he put on the guise of Hawkeye under Dark Avengers, but I also will admit I have not followed Daredevil's escapades nearly as closely as some other characters.
Yeah, he's one of he's a good one. I'm very excited for that. I'm very, 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 very excited to see what they do with this character.
Characters. Uh-huh. Honestly, the one that I am even more excited for is going to be Angela and the Enchantress finally getting a couple more Asgardians on the table. And I love being able to play as Thor and have this a little bit more of a elite squad usually. And I'm really excited to see what these two ladies are going to be able to bring to the table.
Yeah, I am very excited for both of them. We knew that Angela, I think we knew that they were coming, right?
We knew that Angela was coming. She was spoiled on the Asgardian affiliation card, as well as the Guardians affiliation card. Enchantress, though, stayed in the dark, which makes me a little bit worried she won't be affiliated, but, like, surely it's the Enchantress.
Well, I mean, she would have to be an Asgardian affiliation because she is ultimately an Asgardian, but we don't know. Who knows?
Like, if Loki gets to be Asgardian and even have, like, the Asgardian rule for the additional power gain, like, surely Amora would.
You would think. So, yeah, that one's very exciting, too. And that one comes out right before your birthday, right?
Yeah, September 21st.
Sweet. I'm pumped. Sweet. I hope that this release date is somewhat right because I would get Thanos right before my birthday. So that would make me happy.
Yeah, put that on the birthday wish list.
Exactly. And then another big note on this that he posted here is the Kingpin. And that sounds pretty fun. That comes out at the same time as Daredevil and Bullseye. What do you think of Kingpin?
Kingpin has been a mixed bag of the representation of the character for me. Obviously, like in the Daredevil movie, that I feel like that was a little bit of a shame. But I love the 90s Spider-Man cartoon Kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
And Kingpin is finally one of those characters that they mentioned in the core rulebook and kind of hinted at. So we kind of knew that he was coming. It was just a question of when, and now we have that answer.
Exactly. Another answer, maybe, is that finally Ghost Spider and Spider-Man will drop in August. Hopefully, maybe.
Might be the one I'm most excited for. And if you are not an avid listener or watcher of Atomic Mass Games stream, they just yesterday, as of us recording this on a Wednesday, so it was on a Tuesday, revealed that the affiliation coming with that box is the Web Warriors.
Yes, sir. Web Warriors. So I know a lot of people were hoping that it would be called Spider-Verse, and I get that, but there very much is a Web Warriors comic run that is pretty good with all these different spider characters. So that's pretty fun. And I already saw a lot of people on there like, oh yeah, let's get Punk Spider-Man. I want Spider-Noir, you know, like all this different stuff. And
absolutely,
it's all very exciting. And if you hear any rummaging in the background, it's my son going through his markers to try to draw pictures right now. So it's his birthday. He can do what he wants. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. And then there's one other one on here that I think that is a new spoiler awesomeness. You know which one that is?
Ant-Man and the Wasp, right?
That's right. What are they going to do with that?
Well, so we know that it's Ant-Man and Wasp, so it is highly unlikely that we're also getting, like, Ant-Man, Giant-Man all bundled up in a single pack here.
True.
But it's going to be very interesting to have some more size 1, maybe even size 0 with a rules ability or something. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
So looking through this list full of things that are up and coming and all of that kind of stuff, something that, like, maybe we get it with Taskmaster, but I would love to see some more Cabal of, with the Avengers getting both Hawkeye and a new Black Widow added in there. We can only imagine that Ant-Man is going to be an Avenger. I would love to see the Cabal get a little bit more love to kind of rival the size as the Avengers grows.
Yeah, I could see that. I actually want to just see more affiliations. Like, I would love to see Kingpin in the Cabal, but I would also love to see him bring his own affiliation. You know what I mean? Like some kind of street-level crime affiliation or something.
Yep, and Bullseye would fit very well into that. Just kind of the, what is it called in Marvel? It's like the Magia.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember. The Magia fam thing? I don't remember
just
100%.
The kind of the crime families.
Yeah.
Lets you kind of interact with the street level, like heroes for hire kind of enemies, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that. So I'd love to see something like that and just more, just generally more. And then first quarter 2021 is my boy Green Goblin. I really wish he was coming out tomorrow, but at the same time, at least he's coming. And we know he's bringing his new affiliation, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and the other thing to kind of look at here is just looking at this list. The game has been out, let's say, 6 months at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's 6 months.
I'm on point.
Yeah.
So from that point, we had Avengers Cabal, Wakanda, Asgard, and the Guardians.
Yep.
So that's five. Then in these following few months here, we already know for sure we're getting the Web Warriors. Uh-huh. We know for sure that we're getting the Defenders. And it looks like it's a little bit further away, but we're going to get the Spider-Foes with Green Goblin as well.
Yeah, and the Black Order. Don't forget about them.
Yes, we will get the Black Order kind of capped off with Thanos. So that's another four affiliations. They're keeping track, and that's with them starting from two from the get-go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm very, very excited. So if you guys have any thoughts, please feel free to let us know. If there's anything on here that you are super excited about, and we didn't really go over dates because these dates could change, but basically just August and September and November, all that good stuff. It's going to be good stuff. And anyways, so yeah, let us know what you guys think of any of this stuff. I will share this screenshot on the House Party Protocol Facebook page so y'all can take a look at that and comment on that. And let us know what excites you, what you want to see with some of these characters. That'd be pretty fun. You can let us know on the Facebook page at House Party Protocol Podcast. You can email us, houseparty_protocol_pod@gmail.com. You can send us messages on the Facebook Messenger. That's probably the best way. And then there's also the Discord, which I'm somewhat every once in a while lurking over there at @HPP_Will. Nate, where can people find you?
Right now, man, you can find me on YouTube at the Gamers Guild. You can message me through there. And then through Facebook, I am just Nathaniel Gerard. You can find me commenting all sorts of different places, whether it's some fantastically photographed miniatures that I want to know what paints you used, or I guess something that I'm becoming slightly more commonly known for is helping out on any rules questions.
You are the rules lawyer, honestly. Anytime I'm playing a game and I've got a rule question, I immediately message you, don't I?
I've got at least five or six in the inbox from you, for sure.
There you go, exactly. I mean, what could, you know, you've just done really good. And my son just showed me this beautiful picture of a butterfly necklace that he just drew, and it is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Good job, Connor.
So, yeah. Rules lawyer. Speaking of lawyers, why don't we move on to one of our main topics today? And let's start with the Maw. He's not really a lawyer. He's a space lawyer, and I don't know. Bad segue. Don't judge me.
He's a space
psycho
executor.
Yeah. So Atomic Mass Games on their Twitter page the other day sent out a couple of pictures of one Ebony Maw's card. So before we get too far down the rabbit hole of his card, let's talk about his miniature, because that's one of the things we always talk about on the show before we get going. Well, funny thing, Atomic Mass Games doesn't have Ebony Maw or the other two characters we're going to talk about today on their website. So we'll just take a look at whatever picture we can find. And that is one that they had from Gamma. That's probably the best one I can find, or the one that Pagani posted in the Facebook page that he painted was pretty good.
Pagani did a great job with his. You can also find Dallas painting him in some very like Hammer Time kind of vibes.
Oh, nice.
Being given off with some turquoise and pink, and it's something, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love this miniature. I think it's a lot of fun. It's very menacing. It's one of the first villains that's not pointing at shit in a while, so I think that's fun.
Yep, it looks very like it represents Maul very well, because he is this great strategist. He very much so values his intellect, so he's not going to be pointing or anything. He's just going to be – he kind of has this smug look on his face, and I think they did wonderful translating that to the miniature.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And there's a lot of cool little angles on his like robe or whatever that it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to paint. And I could totally see some kind of neon, awesome ridiculousness on that. So, yeah, check it out. Check out Maul's picture. He looks pretty awesome. But you guys don't care about something that you can't see. Let's talk about Ebony Maw's card. So we have Ebony Maw also alter ego of Ebony Maw. Like I said, yes, on the last episode, space people don't have extra names. Their superhero or villain name is just their name.
Hold on now. We had good old Star-Lord.
Star-Lord is a Earth person who participates in space stuff.
He was mostly raised in space. He is a space person.
Raised versus he's an Earth person.
Technicalities
in comic books, you know, this is what the internet is made for, right? So
pointless arguments over illustrated comics.
That's right. These are the discussions of our lives. So Ebony Maw's stamina. He has 7 stamina. He moves medium. He is size 2. Threat 5. His physical defense is 2. His energy defense is 2. And his mental defense is 6. So, Nate, I already know, but what stands out to you on that stat line?
Mental defense of, or mystical defense of 6, I think, is the only appropriate answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty legit. Oof. I mean, luckily his other defenses are pretty low. Bait the hook. Yeah, so luckily those are pretty low, and his stamina's nice. 7 stamina, that's solid.
It's beefy. Well, it's not fantastic looking with those lower defenses values, especially on the dodge roll side where only 2 on there we've seen wreck people.
Yeah, I'm very interesting stat line here. And threat 5. So far, the Black Order, we've seen Proxima at a 3, Corvus at a 4, and now Maw at a 5. Curious where else they go, you know?
Well, with Black Dwarf and Thanos remaining, I highly doubt we're getting a 2 threat.
I would say that's a fair assumption. So, Nate, you want to talk about his attacks?
Yeah, man. So the first one we have is Mystic, and it's called Black Tongue, which just kind of feels weird to say. It is a range of 4, strength of 5, and a power cost of 0. On a wild, it gains Sinister Influence. After this attack is resolved, you may advance the target character short. So note that it's not a move action. It has to be an advance, so there's no climbing or any of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, before you move on, I did mess that up on the last episode when I was talking with my friend Andrew. We had said that you could advance someone over a piece of terrain if it was bigger than them, just changing it to the short thing. And I messed that up, so I apologize for that. Yeah, so.
Shame.
I know, shame on me.
Shame. And the other part, as we see with so many strikes, is after this attack is resolved, this character gains a flat 1 power.
Oh, nice. Yep, okay. So go on to his next one, and then we'll talk about them all.
Yeah, so the next one is also mystical. It is Herald of Doom. It has a range of 4, a strength of 8, and a power cost of 4. And for the first time ever, we get to see a daunting bit of text that says the target character does not gain power for damage dealt by this attack. And ooh, to just go ahead and sum it up with the rest of it, on a wild it gains throw. If the target character is size 2 or less, after the attack is resolved, it may be thrown short. One of the nice things to note there is that it doesn't have to be away like Thor's throw is based on the attack. It is just a throw.
Yeah, so, whew, that's pretty something. So let's talk about Black Tongue first, because it's his basic attack. Basic being a loose word, because it's not really very basic, if you ask me. So
You know what? I disagree. I think it is basic for a 5 threat character.
Well, I mean, for a 5 threat character, considering the only other 5 threat characters in the game right now are MODOK and Thor, and when you look at MODOK's attack, it's very similar to his psionic in terms of dice rolled and distance. But
Psionic Blast is 1 additional dice.
Damn it. I haven't played MODOK in forever.
It gains power equal to the damage dealt, which with a mystical attack, you're usually getting more than that. And it has sap power attached, over the instead of the Sinister Influence. And personally, I like MODOK's better, but with a character of Maw's stature, I think the Sinister Influence getting more control out of that is going to be really nice.
That's where I think it shines, really, is rolling five dice, trying to get a wild. I would reasonably expect there to be a wild on a lot of that, just generally. It's
just
not
over half of the time you should hit that.
Right, exactly. And so I would expect to have that, and I like the control element of it. I think it's fun. I think having a character that can consistently move people around and mess with someone's plans is good. And I like the consistent power gain versus equal to damage dealt sometimes, and especially on a character like this, as we'll see with the superpowers. He doesn't need to gain more power than what this right here does, really, or else he could be unstoppable. But really, his most interesting thing is this Herald of Doom, because it is awfully stout for 4 power.
Yeah, no, have to fully agree with you there. 8 dice is a lot, especially on Mystical, which is kind of that middle-of-the-road defense for most characters. Energy being the weakest, physical being the highest average defense. Mystical just kind of sits somewhere in between.
Yeah, but there are some very important characters who have good physical and energy defenses that can even buff those, but then when you throw a mental attack into them or a mystic attack into them, they can't really do anything about that. Looking at you, Captain America.
Sir, we don't promote the weaknesses of the Avengers on this show for Black Panther and Captain America. We only make them look good.
That's true. That is generally what we do. But look, we would not be doing our job, Nate. I'm just trying to give the people what they want.
People don't want to see Captain America fail. They want the hero to win. Were you in the movie theater when people were cheering when Captain America stood up to Thanos in Endgame?
I was there.
I cried.
I was present. There was a tear that formed in my eye, but we are not living out Endgame on our tables. We are, well, I guess you could once the Black Order comes out.
I was about to say,
we're
about to be able to with the Black Order.
Yeah, but, yes, Ebony Maw is a hard counter for the Captain Americas and Black Panthers of the world, which will be fun. And the Buckies of the world, even though he's not like the strongest character right now, but still.
Yeah, Bucky, Crossbones, Hawkeye all have that low mystical defense of 2. Yep.
Interestingly enough, though, not Hulk. Hulk has a 3.
Oh, he's still a Bruce Banner in there.
Yeah, that's right. He's still a genius. So Herald of Doom, 8 dice is amazing. That's a Hulk smash without being powered up. So that's awesome. And then the bit of text here, the character does not gain power for damage dealt by this attack. That is punishing. I mean, you totally take away the catch-up mechanic, the part of the game that keeps characters from feeling like they didn't get to do shit.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing to throw, especially on a big attack like this. It's going to make some, it's going to be a one-sided attack more so than we would normally see. Like, sure, you get in there and you daze Thor because Mystical has his lowest defense value. But not only are you dazing him, when he gets over to his other side, he doesn't have that built-up power supply to be able to go in there for Asgard, throw something, and then God of Thunder on top of everything else. It's going to make positioning around him, you have to think about it a lot more carefully.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Does that also mean that you think Ebony Maw becomes a high-priority target?
To a degree, I think he will be forced to do so, or the person playing against Ebony Maw is going to be forced to put attacks into him because of his superpowers, if you want to start diving into those.
Yeah, so talking about his superpowers, his first superpower is an active superpower called Telekinetic Powerhouse. It costs you 3 power. Choose an interactive terrain feature of size 4 or less within range 3 and throw it long. This superpower can be used only once per turn. His next superpower is a reactive superpower, Mind Over Matter. Costs you 2 power. When this character is targeted by an attack or would make a dodge roll, you may use this superpower. This character uses its mystic defense to defend or dodge.
What were those last two words again?
Yeah, it's defend or dodge. Like I said, I baited that hook earlier. I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, cost you all two right, power. Well,
like, it costs two power. We see that he only has one way to get power with Black Tongue, right?
Not exactly. So his next superpower is an innate superpower. Incredible psychic potential. During the power phase, this character gains two additional power.
Oh, so he's like Hulk.
That's right. So he's gaining three per turn.
Power off of an attack.
Unless he's stunned, just stun him and poison him, and then it somewhat helps, right?
I mean, yeah, that would make him cry probably. That'd be a very sad Ebony Ball.
It'd be a very sad. He would tear. He would tear up over Captain America's awesomeness at that point. His last innate superpower is flight and gem bearer, mind, and space, which we know the mind gem moves people, and we don't know what the space gem does just yet. So, yeah, hopefully they spoil that soon. But holy superpowers, Ebony Maw.
Yeah, no kidding. So... Do you want to go over the superpowers individually here at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, yes. So let's look at his throw, his telekinetic powerhouse. So crucially, it does not throw characters because that would say to me overpowered if he could throw characters that are size 4 or less at range 3 and throw them long. That would be bad, I think.
Yeah, I think that would be a bit too much in the same way MODOK has a very similar throw. It is size 3 instead of size 4.
But it is long.
But doing that at long is big.
That's huge. And again, throwing that size 4 terrain is awesome. Like, I don't know about you, but I've had in a few of my games before all this craziness started, in a few of my games, we talked about with terrain how some people will say something is size 4 but uninteractable. And stuff like that. I like that, but for me, I would rather just any terrain on the table other than maybe one piece that you call size 5 is totally and completely interactable. But however you want to play your games, play your games. I'm not trying to tell people how to play their games. That's perfectly fine. It's just for me, I like that everything's interactable and there legitimately could be size 4 stuff on there that gets thrown around like it's a puppet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there are certain elements of terrain that make sense to be uninteractable and just provide cover or just provide something else. I know for like my Wakandan table, I've got a little circle that has pillars all over it. I'm not going to let somebody pick up this entire like 6-inch diameter plate in the middle of the field and chuck it, but it's a good way to add cover and stuff. I don't like it when people are just like, I don't want to have this size 4 thing thrown at me.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to say it's uninteractable.
Exactly. I think that's kind of like, that's more where I'm getting at with it. It's like, oh, I see you've got Thor and Hulk in your list. Oh, and now you're going to have Ebony Maw on your list. Yeah, so that size 4 terrain, that's uninteractable, guys. Can't do it. Nah, man.
Yeah. And I also think that it's where we're getting closer and closer to a point where we're able to define what size 4 needs to look like on the table and what kind of terrain we really need to see on the table, as opposed to everybody comes in with like a one story building that's like normal house sized or something and calling that size 4, it probably shouldn't be. That might need to be size 5, just because in relation to like a dumpster truck or something being size 4, I think we're trying to better feel out what those terrain pieces need to be.
Hey, you let me use my Blacksite Studio terrain as I see fit. Don't you tell me that I can't have my big-ass building be size 4.
Again, tell me this. Everybody, you do what you want. Ultimately, the game is there to have fun. Completely agree with that. But I think for the people who are gearing up for more competitive-looking mats and gameplay, it's going to be more and more important to kind of come to an understanding. But ultimately, as long as you discuss it with 100%. Your opponent, do what you want.
Exactly. So with Telekinetic Powerhouse, I think that's a perfectly normal throw. Three power. It's good stuff. But let's talk about Mind Over Matter, his reactive defensive tech. It only costs, and I say only because it's really cheap, it only costs two power, which is awesome. And it allows you to use that six mystic defense for everything. For everything.
Yeah, can you imagine if Captain America's Vibranium Shield read, pay two power, gain four dice?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That would be nuts.
Uh-huh. Look at Ebony Maw.
Exactly.
Look what he can do, including on dodge rolls.
That's the thing of it all.
He doesn't have that weak spot that Captain America has. Like, obviously, Cap also has the mystical defense that he can't buff out as well. But really, throwing stuff at Cap is one of his major weak points. And Maw doesn't have that.
Yep. Yep. I don't know how you deal with this, really, right now. I think it's very difficult to deal with, in that you have to make sure you're going after him in the right, at the right time. And I think you want him, you want to go after him to force him to spend the power on this ability and not on Herald of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
So going into him with someone that does physical attacks, like, I think this is a good opportunity to use Captain America's shield throw and stuff like that to hit him, to force him to try to use Mind Over Matter. But with that seven stamina, it creates a situation where the Maw player could soak up a hit from shield throw. You know what I mean? The shield throw is only rolling four dice, so it's not too big of a deal. Yeah. But
shield throw is usually not what you're going to use your Mind Over Matter for.
I agree, but then you look at something like, we're going to talk about with Black Widow here in a few minutes, and she has an attack that can go twice. And
mm-hmm.
And it's only, it's a cheap attack, a few dice, but I think something like that is what you want to force the issue of, okay, well, if you don't block this one four dice attack, you are going to have another one in your face, and that could potentially be five damage on your seven stamina character.
Yep, just keep chipping in with it. So before we get too attached on the seven stamina on the healthy side, because usually it kind of flips over and stays the same, he does go down to four stamina on his injured side, which is a pretty significant change.
Yeah, that is a significant change, but that's what I'm talking about in terms of balancing and you as an opponent. So I look at Ebony Maw. How do you play him, and also how do you play against him? Because he is a big threat, as denoted by his five threat, but how do you play against him is you have to force him, and this is just me looking at this card, this is what I think. You have to force him to Mind Over Matter so that he can't Herald of Doom.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think you need to come at him with some large terrain pieces getting chucked at him. You need to come in with some heavy hit, big attacks, to force him to start using the Mind Over Matter. And as you mentioned also, attacks that are going to be able to get, or characters that are able to get multiple attacks off, like the Flurry from Valkyrie, Widow, that we're about to talk about here in a second, are going to be instrumental in draining him of his resources to stay alive.
Exactly. And I do think that even those four dice attacks that I generally am not a fan of are at least now more viable against an Ebony Maw. Those are viable because it still creates a decision point for your opponent. And that's, I think, what you want to do is create a decision point. So that's where I think his balance comes in. And this, again, we've heard people on the internet, because it's the internet, talk about how Ebony Maw is OP. And I think that that's where his balance is that he has to be played around or dealt with. You know what I mean?
Yep. Something else to consider is he has three less stamina than our other five threat characters.
Exactly.
As a whole. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but with more and more games, I'm valuing every single point of stamina on a character more and more.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that you cannot undersell the amount of stamina a character has. That one point can make a difference. It can make a huge difference. And that's why when I see characters that are threat three that have six stamina on one of their sides, I love it. I love it because it's just...
Yeah, Doc Ock, Star-Lord, they're far more tanky than they first appear.
Exactly. So on his injured side, he does go down to four stamina, and some of the text changes.
The Mind Over Matter, it has the active symbol right now from the card that they've spoiled, where that one should be reactive.
Right.
And the Incredible Psychic Potential...
That's the one.
...has a... It's not even the words are different. They just put the power symbol in a different spot, if I remember correctly.
They put the number two in an additional spot. That's what it is.
Yes, that's what it is. It means the exact same thing.
They said that the card, when it ships, will actually have the appropriate symbol for Mind Over Matter, but the power, the whole two additional power versus an additional two power, that doesn't change how it works mechanically.
Yeah, it all works out the same.
So final thoughts on Ebony Maw before we move on?
Make that man or alien or whatever he is an Avenger.
Yeah, that's one of the things we didn't talk about is affiliations that he fits into. I think he wants to be an Avenger big time.
Yep. I think some additional power gain from the Cabal is going to be good because Black Tongue is usually probably going to chip in there for a damage. So getting consistent power back there doesn't hurt. Rerolls definitely also wouldn't hurt him as a character. Joining in with the Wakanda or the Guardians, it's not going to hurt. He does have pretty decent power generation between his incredible psychic potential and a guaranteed power from Black Tongue, which is a really big deal because sometimes dice happen, and when you need that extra bit of power to get off the Herald of Doom or to make sure you have a Mind Over Matter for the follow-up turn, it's going to be very important.
Oh, yeah. I think that Cabal and Avengers are interesting, and I also think that Asgard could be fun. Now, obviously, if you have him and Thor in an Asgard list, then that's 10 threat right off the jump. So that makes things difficult, but it could be interesting to try it out to help keep him alive and keep those conditions off of him for a little while. So could be interesting. That's something I want to try. I want to try him with everything, but I think rapid reaction is Avengers just because making his Mind Over Matter be one power is just, I mean, that's wildly efficient. Yep. But again, you got to also think, what are you losing to get this five threat character into your list? Well, you're probably losing a Thor. So, you know,
you're losing a Thor, you're losing a Valkyrie and Rocket. There's a lot of things lost. One other counter I want to mention before we move on that is going to make Ebony Maw's life an absolute hell is Loki.
You think so?
I mean, even in the Avengers, Loki is really annoying for Captain America to deal with because he relies so much on being able to bodyguard and vibranium shield for his allies, when all of a sudden that cost 5 power instead of 3 power. Doing the same thing to Ebony Maw, especially if he's not in the Avengers, making Mind Over Matter cost 3, I think is definitely going to be something that Ebony Maw wants to avoid on the table.
Yeah, I think that's a interesting take. I do think that sinister influence on this Black Tongue attack can help mitigate that, push Loki away, then okay, now we can start dealing with things. Maybe. Again, all depends on board state, but you know, I think that Loki will make it difficult, but I think that Loki is deal withable.
Yes, he's thankfully he is not a super defensible character, so he has some weak spots of his own to exploit.
Yeah,
but I think just Loki being on the board, that's something that the Ebony Maw player has to deal with immediately, more so than you might normally have to.
Exactly. So now that we're done with the Maw, since we have already mentioned her, why don't we go ahead and talk about our new Black Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Absolutely. What are the words I want to use?
Clearly, you can't word so well.
I just don't know, because I want to be positive about her.
Well, let's talk about the model first. Let's talk about the model first. So, Her model is Shuri, but as Black Widow.
Yep, that was something I was going to point out if you didn't. It is a very similar sculpt to what we have from Shuri. I think it's still a very dynamic sculpt.
Oh, yeah, very, very dynamic and very action sculpt, and I like that, but it is... I'm surprised that they didn't catch this, but then again, who knows? I don't know, you know?
So let me ask you this, because both of these ladies have the wrist-mounted weapons.
Uh-huh.
Both of them are going to have both of the arms pointed out. What would you have changed about the sculpt?
You know, with Black Widow, I would have... maybe had her in a, instead of a leaping pose, maybe more static, similar to her core box pose, but maybe kneeling or something like that, like how Black Panther's kneeling, maybe. Like, I'm not a sculptor, I'm not, so in that regard, I don't really know exactly how I would have changed it, but just something that would have made it not look so similar, I don't really know. I guess, but yeah.
No, that's fair. The reason I ask is, like, the original Black Widow is kind of, she's not like full on superhero landing pose, but she is kind of crouched. She's kind of a little bit more reserved. She does have one arm sticking out, and so when you have the opportunity to make a different sculpt for the same character, I can definitely see why they wanted to go with something a lot more dynamic. This is the much more combat-intensive Black Widow, as we're about to see. I would have liked maybe her arms to be a little bit more spread out.
Yeah.
Instead of both pointing directly forward, maybe look like she's got...
multiple targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Or I think something like where she's got like one hand on her wrist, like interacting with that, with her wrist gun thing and like pointing it or something. Something like that, maybe. I don't know. Or
that'd be cool too. That'd be cool too.
Yeah. Or as we're about to see, she has an attack called automatic pistol. Wouldn't it be cool if she was holding a pistol? Even though that's not her thing, I know. I'm just saying.
I was about to say, it's not something we see so much in the comics. They do have them sculpted on her, so it's not like a, oh, where does she have these pistols kind of a thing.
I'm just saying.
But, like, yeah, no, I get you.
Maybe pointing the wrist launcher thing with one hand and then holding a pistol in the other, like aiming, pointing it down or something. I don't know.
That's what Agent Venom's going to look like.
Hey, maybe one day one can hope.
I don't know. It's not a hope. It'll happen.
So anyways, this is the sculpt, and I think it'll be fun to paint it up. And look, I'm going to say it right now. This model is 100% a function of the fact that there was supposed to be a Black Widow movie coming out around this time.
100%.
They haven't said as much, but, I mean, come on.
They've hinted at it.
Exactly. Like, why wouldn't they want to capitalize on another billion-dollar movie from Marvel?
Yep, nope, it makes perfect sense. And even if it was just the House of Mouse saying, hey, we've got this coming out, we would like to see this new game, this new product, support this movie.
Exactly. So, there you go. But we might not, the sculpt might not be exciting, but the character seems pretty cool. So we have Black Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Natasha Romanoff. Is her alter ego, which I didn't even notice that the core box had a typo on her alter ego name. It says Romanova or something like that.
So, interesting story. It is not a typo. Romanova is the feminine in Russian, which is why they use that. It's something that she's been referred to in the comics even a few times. And when the core set, when it was planned, when it was printing, whatever, that was the wording that Marvel wanted them to use, and they have since rescinded that, and we're getting that errata the whole nine yards.
Wow, okay. I see, I didn't know that. So there you go. But that could have created a you could use each one on the table at the same time situation.
Would have made an awkward situation.
Awkward indeed. She was cloned. She's a Skrull agent. So her top stat line, she has stamina of 5, a move of medium, a size of 2, a threat of 3. She has 4 physical defense, 3 energy defense, and a mystic or mental defense of 3 as well. What stands out to you on that stat line?
Man, I like her new defense line.
Yeah. Her defenses have gone up, and I like that she's no longer an energy defense of 2.
That's a big thing. Physical defense going up to 4 is also really nice.
It's the most prevalent attack in the game, so having 4 dice is always better.
Yep, getting that extra little bit of consistency there is never going to hurt. Hate to see her lose the long move, but I guess she's got a little bit more combat armor on her, so she has to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, it restricts her movements a little bit. It makes sense to me. So, yeah, you want to talk about her attacks?
Absolutely. I'm excited, actually, about all 3 of these. Her first one is Automatic Pistol. It is range 3, strength 4, and has a power cost of 0. And it has, after this attack is resolved, this character gains 1 power, just flat, no damage has to be dealt, any of that kind of stuff. But most importantly, not on a wild, not on anything, it just gains the Rapid Fire ability, which says, after this attack is resolved, this character may make 1 additional automatic pistol attack. The additional attack must target the original target character. The additional attack does not have the Rapid Fire special rule.
I love it.
It's really nice. It's very consistently just 2 power off of a strike, which is kind of unheard of for just as far as that consistency goes.
Exactly.
Her next attack is Tear Gas. It is also physical, and this one is an area 2 attack on a 3 threat character.
Wow, yeah, it's so weird.
Do you remember the first area attack that we got?
It wasn't Thor, was it?
It was Thor.
Yeah.
It was a 5 threat character that has an area 2 attack. Now, granted, this one's only rolling 4 dice, but it also only costs 2 power.
Yeah.
It has a line of text that we've already seen on Ebony Maw. It's not going to be quite as devastating here, that the target character does not gain power for the damage dealt by this attack. Still annoying.
Yep.
Especially with the second half of this ability. After this attack is resolved, the target character gains the poison special condition. There is no wild needed here. There is no damage needing to be dealt here. It is just straight up poisoning everybody within range 2 of Widow.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
And to capitalize on that poison token that she just put out, she has her final attack, her big attack, Widow's Kiss. It is energy, range 2, strength of 6, and a power cost of 3. On a wild, it gains push. One of the nice things here is there's no size restriction on that push, so you're able to throw around the Hulks and MODOKs of the world and get them out of the way. But the most important line of text to me, because, oh my goodness, could this attack just go ballistic, is add 1 die to this attack roll for each special condition the target character has.
Yeah, so those are some pretty fun attacks, if you ask me.
Oh my goodness, is she kitted out for combat this time?
Oh yeah, she is going to be right in the thick of it, and those defenses are going to help keep her alive. And let's just start at the top again with this automatic pistol attack. I mean, that is some very consistent power generation. And then the interesting thing about this is the rapid fire has to target the original target character. Now, Nate, rules lawyer. So let's say I target Black Panther. Captain America bodyguards it. Does that target Captain America on the second one, or does it target Black Panther?
It's going to target Captain America for a second time.
Exactly, because original character means the character you rolled dice against.
But let me pose to you this question.
Oh.
What happens if Captain America is at range 4 and he bodyguards an attack from Black Panther, who's in range 3?
I would think you still roll dice against Captain America.
You do not get that second attack against Captain America.
Ah, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Okay. So being able to, because it is,
because you can't target him at that point.
Yep. It has to meet all the same requirements as a normal attack would. There's no techs like Gamora or Captain America have on their attacks that kind of get to chain off of one another that don't care about the range or line of sight.
Right.
She has to have that additional target within three. So there's a little bit of play to get her less value out of the automatic pistols. But at that point, it's more just kind of like incidental bonus. You're not going to try to play around keeping Captain America range four of Black Widow.
Exactly. So her next one, tear gas, I personally don't see myself using this a lot, honestly, because while I get its utility, area attacks, like even Thor's God of Thunder, it's very specific situations where it would go off. And when it happens, like, okay, that's great, but I don't try to get my characters into such a point where they're going to have three other characters around them at range two to be able to pop off something like this, especially with hers only being four dice. But I do want that poison condition, but I would rather save my power for her Widow's Kiss attack, personally.
This is a very situational attack, obviously, because you have the automatic pistols. So really, tear gas, if you have two characters in range, I think it's justifiable, because it's also then denying your opponent either two actions or two power.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. But it's just one of those things for me. I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be using it very often. But her Widow's Kiss, on the other hand, now, we aren't talking about affiliations yet, but my God, if you put her in Guardians and you let Star-Lord start passing out conditions like they're candy, this Widow's Kiss is going to be devastating.
So with Widow's Kiss in mind as kind of the catalyst payoff, do you think that there is space for a unaffiliated dealing status list?
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to try it. But here's the problem is you at least. So let's look at Guardians as an example. That's still an affiliation, but Guardians want to put out the conditions. It's kind of, I mean, Star-Lord's built for that. And they got a whole bunch of other little condition things in there. Nebula's got some conditions that she does, stuff like that, right? So you can build a list like that, I think, that could be interesting. But then you go up against an Asgard and they're at least able to mitigate some of that. Or you put, you know, as soon as you daze someone, as soon as somebody gets dazed, then those conditions go away anyways. And I think it'd be interesting to try. But then I guess Black Widow becomes your damage dealer, getting her on that Widow's Kiss, you know, trying to take off as many of those conditions as possible. And I mean, do I think there's space for it? Yes. Do I think that's going to be competitively viable? I'm not so sure, because I think throws are still super powerful. And so far, characters that like to do a lot of conditions don't really have the ability to throw or mitigate things being thrown at them. So I think it could be interesting. And I want to try it. But I don't know if it's going to be competitively viable. But I do think that stacking conditions onto a character like an Ebony Maw just straight neuters him. I think stacking conditions onto a character like MODOK or Hulk or Thor can neuter them in a lot of ways. But at the same time, is it the only way that they can to deal with that character? No, it's not. Is it a good way? Sure. But is it the only way? Not exactly. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think ultimately there's not going to be, it's not going to be super competitive, but I can definitely see a list forming between Black Widow, what we're getting with Hawkeye, Proxima being able to hand out three status conditions with a single attack.
Yeah,
obviously Star-Lord with full auto getting to hand out a lot of status abilities. The next character we're going to talk about having a arsenal of abilities or status conditions that he can hand out. I think there is a slowly but surely the possibility of a status list team that it will be absolutely lethal to a more elite squad.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to try it, and I want to try it. And I mean, that's kind of what I've been waiting to get back into games for, is to be able to try that kind of a list to see what happens. And especially with a character like this, with this Widow's Kiss, I mean, it just sounds so crazy. It sounds so crazy. Like, I'm not even worried about the, like, I don't even care about the push on that attack. It's really good that it has a push, but that's not even, it's not even what I'm worried about or using it for, you know?
I think you should be using it for that every now and again, but before we get into that, I think it's worth talking about her superpowers as to why.
Exactly. So her first superpower is a reactive superpower called Interrogate. It costs you 3 power. At the start of the cleanup phase, if this character is within range 2 of one or more dazed enemy characters, it may use this superpower. Its controlling player increases the amount of victory points they score from crisis cards during this cleanup phase by 1. So that's a weird bit of text to say that Black Widow allows you to score 1 additional victory point if she is within range 2 of dazed enemies.
Yep. And I think that it's a little bit weirdly phrased there. To make sure that you are scoring it the same time that you are scoring your crisis cards.
Exactly. Exactly. So if she's dazed, I would imagine that it still counts. Because it doesn't, I mean, because she would still be within range 2 at that point, right?
Well, she wouldn't be able to use the superpower if she's dazed.
Oh, that's right. So never mind. Okay, because it's at the start of the cleanup phase is the trigger. There you go. Weird bit of text.
Yep, and being able to make sure it is timed at the same time that all of the other points are being scored during the cleanup phase makes it so that you're not scoring this later. That way, the opponent, if you're like, if you would be tied or you would, or something like that, and your opponent then wins by you not scoring that 1 point until later, it kind of negates that situation.
Exactly. So her next superpower is another reactive power called Parting Shot. It costs you 2 power. After an attack targeting this character is resolved, this character may use this superpower. The attacking character suffers 1 damage. This character may advance away from the attacking character short. That's pretty fun.
It absolutely is. And again, I love the design space that Atomic Mass Games is been making with these characters by having similar abilities, but also different abilities. The thing that this reminds me of, it's also 2 power, it's also after the attack is resolved, is Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, yeah.
And this one, though, instead of having the potential of spiking for 4 damage, is a guaranteed damage and then an advance away from the attacking character.
That's the part I think is really good.
And why is it so good?
Well, it gets you out of range for a potential follow-up attack.
Especially because her last superpower is
Stealth, which is an innate ability where characters must be within range 3 of this character to target it with attacks. Nice setup, Nate.
Thank you.
You'll be here all day.
Yep, at least the next hour or so. Anyway, so yeah, having stealth on her is not something I thought we were going to see on this more combat-oriented Black Widow, but it, again, increases her survivability that much more by making it so that the Shuri's, Rockets, and Hawkeyes of the world can't just continue picking on her.
Exactly, and I think it creates a really interesting character and a really complete character in a lot of ways. So whereas our first Black Widow is very objective runnery, you know, get in, get out kind of thing. I mean, this Black Widow is get in, get out, but it's get into combat, get out of combat. And I think she still has enough interesting movement shenanigans with Parting Shot and some of this other stuff that she can be objective focused, but also fill a different role.
Well, it's a very different kind of objective focused, because the long move Black Widow could like go in, take a secure or take a extraction objective, and then run back to a safer point with stealth, and maybe hold like a back extremist console or something like that. Where this Black Widow is scoring victory points on her own with Interrogate by just staying in the mix.
Exactly. So I think it's a really interesting character. Now, what affiliation do you think she fits with?
Well, we know that she is Avengers. That has been confirmed at this point. And I think she, again, fits in really well there. Parting shot for one power is going to be really nice.
Oh, yeah, that guaranteed damage and then that move away short or advance away short is, I really like that.
Yep, and it's going to make people, in the same way you have to think about moving into Rocket's booby trap space, hey, like, if Thor has only one stamina left, like, you better make sure you can finish Black Widow off, otherwise she's going to finish you off.
Exactly. And this doesn't have a range on it, so it's after an attack targeting this character is resolved. So if Thor is able to get a hammer throw right at that fringe of range 3, you know, I don't know. I think it could be interesting. Stealth keeps her from being attacked close or from far away, but at the same time, no matter the range, she can avoid or put on that one damage and then subsequently advance, which I really like.
Yeah, if we maybe see a character like Bullseye be able to ignore stealth because of his superpowers or what have you, I think that'll play, giving Parting Shot not a range restriction plays very nicely.
Exactly. So I think Avengers is fun for her, especially with the reduction in power on Parting Shot. But Interrogate, you don't get that reduction on, right?
Why would you not?
Because it's once per turn, and it's not in the turn. Like, it wouldn't be a during the turn superpower. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Now that you mention it, that is an interaction I had not thought about. But yeah, that sounds right, because it is not during a turn, which is, like you mentioned, you cannot get that additional reduction off of Captain America's leadership ability for that, which is a really cool kind of timing interaction there.
Cool. And Atomic Mass did confirm that with you while we were talking, which is awesome.
Yep. I love how responsive these guys are.
Cool. So that's awesome. Yeah. Straight from the designers themselves. So
good catch.
Yeah. So I think that her Avengers affiliation, you want it for Parting Shot. But then again, I also think that she could be decent in Cabal with Widow's Kiss, but I don't, or Automatic Pistol also. But I actually think that Guardians would be super fun with her, because you're getting, if you do winging it, you could get two automatic pistol attacks and you get to use your rerolls on that, or you get automatic pistol and then a Widow's Kiss attack potentially, like, and re-rolling for all that. Like, I think that'd be super fun.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a fun place. I don't know if I would want to use that on her though, if
exactly.
I have Gamora on the table or Rocket with the Deadly Duo. It's not going to be the optimal place to use the rerolls.
Agreed.
With that in mind, though, I think she's going to play really well in the Cabal because of the multiple attacks.
Yeah, she's got a lot of them. She has a lot of them. So nothing changes on her injured side. She stays the same. Awesome, except cool art changes.
Yep, as usual. But otherwise, I'm pretty happy to and excited to get her on the table, especially with her former partner in crime and now partner in heroing,
Hawkeye. Yeah, so we had Hawkeye spoiled as well. And this is Hawkeye Clint Barton. And let's talk real quick about the pose, the model here. Look, I get that it's the modern Hawkeye take, but I really wanted the purple and magenta suit with the you know, the whole thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I wanted all of that, and we didn't get it, and I'm sad.
Cool. So they are going comic accurate here.
Modern
when
comic
accurate.
When was
the last time... The last time that Hawkeye consistently wore that mask,
but
it was over 10 years ago.
But look, how was he known for like 30 years with the mask? I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was also known for like 5 years as a villain.
That's also true. He was Ronin at one point, so he could have been Ronin Hawkeye. Look. I like the sculpt. It's a good sculpt. It's a good dynamic sculpt. He's leaping away while shooting. Makes perfect sense. I'm just saying. I really want
it. And I get it. And I'm sure that there's going to be some alternate heads out there, some Masters of Green stuff recreating the classic Hawkeye. I, for one, though, am rather glad to have the more modern interpretation of Hawkeye. Yeah.
I'm totally going to paint him up like the old one, though. I'm not going to sculpt him or nothing, but he's going to have like a bright purple and magenta looking suit on. Anyways, we have Hawkeye, Clinton Barton, stamina of 4, his movement is medium, size 2, threat 3, physical defense of 4, energy defense of 2, and mental defense of 2. So what stands out to you there?
I like it for the 4 physical defense. As far as what stands out, though, is his otherwise extremely subpar stamina and defenses.
So you know what stands out to me? Like, those obviously stand out, but like his 4 stamina. This is a threat 3 character that has 4 stamina. First time we've seen that, I think.
Yes.
So that stands out to me big time, especially with those lower defenses. But as we're about to see, this is not a character that should be up in the thick of it where this has to be a concern.
Nope. He is, I guess we talk about the attack.
Exactly.
He only has one of them, which is kind of interesting, and that is Arrow Shot. It is physical, if you want it to be. It has a range of 5, a strength of 5, and costs no power. After the attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt, which is pretty nice on a 5 dice attack.
Oh, yeah.
But it also has the wonderful line of text of, before choosing a target, this character may choose whether this attack is going to be a physical or energy-based attack.
Nice.
So that is Ultron's Metallic Fury heavy-hitting attacks ability that makes it stand out on Hawkeye's free attack.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's just like Ultron, except it's free.
For free.
And what else is it?
And the other important part here is he has a full quiver of tricks on a wild. After the attack is resolved, the defending character gains one of the following special conditions: bleed, shock, slow, or poison.
Oh, yeah. And getting that wild, what do we say, 50% of the time on 5 dice?
A little bit over, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love this free attack. This strike, not a strike, not even close to a strike, Arrow Shot. I love it.
Yep, no, it is quite handy, especially because of some of the superpowers that he has to go along with it.
Yeah, so his first superpower is an active superpower, so he has to use it on his turn. Hook Arrow. It's power cost of 2. Place this character within range 3 of its current position. This superpower can be used only once per turn.
And my goodness, it better be only once per turn.
Oh my god, talk about getting around the map, dude. So the next one he has is an active superpower called Trick Shot for 1 power. The next Arrow Shot attack this character makes ignores line of sight, and the defending character does not benefit from cover. So, Rocket, goodbye.
That's nice.
Yeah, the last superpower he has is a reactive superpower called Fast Draw. It costs you 2 power. When this character is targeted by an attack, if the attacker is not within range 3 of this character, it may use this superpower. This character immediately makes an Arrow Shot attack targeting the attacking character.
Boom.
Mic drop. Wow.
Goodbye again, Rocket.
Seriously. If you're outside of range 3, you want to attack Hawkeye inside of range 3.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going
to get... It's going to be hard to get to him sometimes.
Exactly. Because he's going to hook Arrow out of there.
He's going to hook Arrow out of there. He can slow your characters with his full quiver. And one of the most disgusting things is with the fast draw, if you get a wild on that fast draw, you can then apply the shock condition, which then means that opponent that's attacking into Hawkeye just lost the dice.
Right. So let's think about the timing of this, because this is important. I think this is, as great as Arrow Shot is, this fast draw is what this character really wants to do, I think. arrow shot is what he's going to do more often, but this is it. When this character is targeted, so that is the trigger. And what does that mean? That means before the attacker rolls their dice, Hawkeye gets to do this. Holy shit. I mean, holy Han Solo shooting Greedo first.
Hawkeye shot first.
Yeah, he shot first, all right. Seriously.
It's a very impressive repertoire of what he's got on the table. Again, worth mentioning, there is one slight change on his injured side, and he has stamina actually goes up a little bit.
Which is awesome. That's awesome. So he's one of the squishier characters in the game, really. But, man, you keep this dude on the fringe, and holy moly. I mean,
yep.
I don't know, honestly, how you run Avengers without Hawkeye after reading this card.
I have a couple lists that I would not run him in the Avengers that I've been enjoying right now. But there's zero chance that Hawkeye's not making it into my roster, because I think he is going to be a very important three-slot character that can deal with the Shuri's of the world, that can deal with the Rockets of the world, and just be a very valuable three-threat character, because he's not a jack-of-all-trades character like Iron Man is, who's kind of good at a lot of different things but not great at any of them. Hawkeye is perfect at his one job.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that his one job is just sitting back and plinking away at people. You know?
And even on those, in these situations where, like, because one of the most frustrating things with Iron Man is you put him at range one of the console that he's trying to protect, and he's just not quite within range four, not quite within range five to be able to do anything efficient on his turn other than just stand there. Hawkeye has this really great potential to move, shoot, move.
Right.
He can use a move action, move up a little bit, arrow shot, and then hook arrow.
Right. That's the thing. It's the move, shoot, move, or the shoot, shoot, move.
Yeah. That's all sorts of possibilities that can be a lot of fun with that.
Right. And range three is longer than the medium move tool.
Mm-hmm. Just so, barely, but it is.
Hey, it's a game of millimeters sometimes.
That's true, too.
That's what she said. Oh god, oh, that was terrible. So yeah, I love Hawkeye. I think this is a really interesting character. I think that what you were talking about with condition applying lists, I think it's viable, but you would still have to balance it with a character like, if you have Hawkeye and then that Black Widow, you still need to be able to make sure you're getting your objectives done. And I think that you know, figuring out that balance is going to be fun.
Characters like Hawkeye and Black Widow will get your objectives done, though.
Exactly. They can. They certainly can. Hawkeye bouncing around between secure objectives would be primo, if you ask me.
Yep. So a couple things I want to mention on Hawkeye for some fun interactions, because I love the intricacies of the rules. First off, Trick Shot does not have a timing window on it. It's not till the end of the round. It's not till his end of activation. It is simply the next arrow shot attack this character makes. Which means the last thing Hawkeye can do is Trick Shot, and he can either bank that for his next activation, or if he gets attacked, he can fast draw with a Trick Shot to really deter any rocket shenanigans.
Exactly. I love it. I think it's so good. So good. Banking the Trick Shot. Expect me to do that a lot.
Yeah, no reason to not to if you've got the extra power, and because he's not spending a lot of power on other things, like, that should be fine.
Yeah, and I actually like the idea. I think he is obviously Avengers. He would benefit greatly from Avengers, but I also think he could be interesting in Cabal, because he's got a lot of interesting ways to gain that additional power.
I think that statistically, and granted, I've been rolling terrible when I played Rocket a couple of times. Statistically, you should be getting a damage off with arrow shot, especially being able to pick the weaker defense type.
Exactly.
So I think that very much so, Cabal is going to play well with him. He can at that point become a power bank.
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't particularly like him in any other affiliation, really. Like, the other ones are okay. Guardians, not so great. Would not be the best. Maybe could be fun, but still, I don't think he really would fit there per se. And then Wakanda's Wakanda. Asgard for the healing and the removal of conditions, sure, but he shouldn't be in a position where that's going to.
Asgard's ability really focuses better on the four threat characters, usually, in my opinion. I think Hawkeye actually wouldn't mind being in Wakanda, though. Granted, it's not going to give Wakanda something that they don't have, because Shuri already plays a pretty good ranged slot. But because he's going to have this little bit of extra pocket change of power, getting that extra bit of consistency on the arrow shots is not going to be a bad for him.
Exactly. So, yeah. With that, the last thing that we're going to talk about with Hawkeye. Any final thoughts on Hawkeye?
One other just kind of a fun interaction that I got clarified. Because the Wakandan herbs gives extra damage dice to, or gives you an extra die on physical attacks, you actually lose that extra attack die if you choose to make it an energy attack.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Makes sense. Just a fun little interaction, because the actual attack shows as physical. I didn't know if there was a loophole there. There's not.
Gotcha. So the last thing we're going to talk about is a card that was spoiled for the these two characters that comes in the pack here, called Professionals. It's a tactic card. It's unaffiliated. It's active. And it says, Natasha Romanoff and Clinton Barton may spend two power each to play this card. If Clinton Barton damages a character with an attack this round, and Natasha Romanoff is within range 2 of the damaged character, you may move one asset or civilian token from the damaged character to Natasha Romanoff. She is now holding that token. This does not allow a character to hold more tokens than the crisis specifies. So that's a lot of word text to basically say that if this situation works out perfectly, where Black Widow is within range 2 of a character holding the herbs, she can steal the other team's herbs, which you have not been able to do yet in the game.
Yeah, and she doesn't even have to be holding her herbs. She could just...
Oh, no, yeah. Well, she can't... Yeah. Just stealing the other team's herbs is huge.
Yep. First time that we've been able to find a kind of loophole to capture your flag back.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's really awesome. And being able to take stuff off of people, even though this is a very specific situational card, it's definitely a threat. Definitely a threat. And you have to think about it, I think.
Yeah, especially one of the other things to keep in mind with this is we have three extraction cards that all play with only one secure objective, including the herbs, kind of. And if you are wanting to kind of try to play around this, you maybe bring those three extraction cards that all have to deal with, like, the Kree Power Cube, the Skrull Infiltrator, where it makes that one token that much more vital.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, very interesting interaction there. All three of these characters that we've talked about today are very exciting, but I know you as an Avengers player are most excited for the new Black Widow and Hawkeye. I am just excited in general to get more models on the table and just more tricks in our bag of tricks. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, Nate, I think that is going to about wrap us up today.
I think we talked about plenty, yeah.
Yeah, long episode, but man, what a lot. What a lot that we talked about. And, oh boy, we're going to have some new toys soon, hopefully. June, come on, June. Don't push us back again.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So, Nate, where can people find you?
Again, you guys can find me over on YouTube, the Gamers Guild. Focus a lot on this game and just the general excitement around it. And tomorrow you can find my video of review of Hawkeye and Widow. Go in depth with some turn one shenanigans that Hawkeye can pull off.
Ooh, turn one shenanigans that Hawkeye can pull off. Do you want to tell us what those are real quick, or do you just want to save it?
I'm just gonna hint at it and make people come over and watch it.
Go check that out on the Gamers Guild. Nate, you always make good content over there. And also, you can find us, House Party Protocol Pod at gmail.com, Facebook, House Party Protocol Podcast, And then also, don't forget, we still have a discount for Blacksite Studio Terrain. It's 15% off individual items over there. So if you fill your cart with individual things, you will get 15% off. That's House Party 15. So please make sure to use that. We don't get any kickback from that. It's just something that we bring to you guys. So yeah, that'll be, yeah, try that and interact with us. We'd love to hear what you guys think, and also make sure to leave us a review if you like what we do here. Please leave us a review. And if you're out there and you know some people maybe didn't like kind of how we started, because admittedly Greg and I had a rough start with this podcast, not that we didn't enjoy it or we didn't think it was good, but we were still finding our foothold. But now I think that things have kind of mellowed a little bit in a lot of ways, and give us another chance if you're out there. If you know someone that maybe didn't jive with us before, try to, you know, tell them, say, hey, go check them out again and see what they think. Because, yeah, we want to make sure we give everybody what they want out of the show. Obviously, we can't please everybody, but, you know, we want to try. And, yeah, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, on Facebook, like and subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Party on, Nate.
Party on, Wade. I mean, Will.